Normally, the churches put them on the back wall, but this is Florida. You can't vote right, and now you can't put a clock on the right spot. And but anyway, I'm sorry. It's a Georgia fan that does this. But anyway, and but I'm thrilled to be here, and thank you so much for letting me come and be a part of this great place. I called your preacher last week. I got voicemail. I thought, wow. Something's not right. Brother Breedlove has voicemail. He's going liberal. I mean, every time I call, I just this number doesn't have a voicemail. And not this time, I literally had voicemail. I thought, wow, this is strange. Then he called me back. And I thought, this is really getting strange. He answered it. He actually knows how to work this thing. Brother Owens, you got nothing on this guy. 2003 since he's updated anything. Then I began to wonder if I was you start getting nervous. Guy starts getting tech savvy, and you think, now is he going to get too big for me? Sure enough, I get to the airport. He doesn't pick me up. He sends Brother Scott to pick me up. Brother Scott don't have a clue where he's going. We circled that airport about three times trying to get out of that airport. I finally had to say, Brother Scott, I think that's the exit right there. It's bad when the evangelist has to tell the person who's supposed to know where they're going where to get out of the place. Amen. But we made it here. I don't mean to embarrass you, Brother Scott, but we made it here, and I'm excited about being here. I'm glad that we're still not circling the airport right now. That's always exciting. I can tell you what the Orlando airport looks like very well right now. And but anyway, what a thrill it is to be here. Thank you so much. If you get a chance, visit my table in the back. I have several things back there. Like Brother Owens, we both sell our material for $10 each. We want to get our stuff out. We're not trying to get rich off of it. We want to get it out. Of course, we do have to pay for it. But we would like you to get back to, if you can, visit our tables. And I have my new book back there on marriage. I have just I don't know how many I have back there. Not a lot of them. I came from another meeting straight to this, so I'm not fully stocked in everything. But if you'd like to get my book in marriage, it's a brand new book, 23 chapters, 234 pages, Till Death Do Us Part. That's the title of the book. I think you'll find it to be very helpful. It's helped the Breedloves. Their marriage is getting stronger since they've been reading it. And so I hope if you get a chance that you'll get back there and visit the table. Then if you get a chance, visit the online paper that I publish every month. It's called the Old Paths Journal. If you're not familiar with it, I'd encourage you to go there and visit it. It's www.oldpathsjournal.com. We have several good articles in there this month that I think that you'll find to be very helpful. There's an article in our ladies section from one of the ladies, one of our church secretaries actually. She wrote an article on how a lady can be a help to her pastor. Sometimes you ladies, you wonder how. You know, you got to be proper. You got to do it right. And she wrote a great article. I think you'll find that to be helpful. I wrote an article on Stop the Presses. Liberalism is a failed experiment. You know, by definition alone, you ought not to try liberalism, because liberalism, by definition, you look it up. Liberalism is literally an experiment for something new. Come on now. So that's completely against the scriptures. We're supposed to go to the old. You'll find that article to be helpful. There's one in there about God's amazing grace. I think you'll find to be helpful. Teenagers, there's an article in there. And are you hiding behind a mask? You know, teenagers can certainly put on a good facade, but what's behind that mask? And I think you'll find that. Several other articles in there that I think you'll find to be helpful. Dr. Bob Gray Sr., a good friend of mine, he writes an article every month, and it's very helpful, and I think you'll find that. And so if you get a chance, visit it, oldpathsjournal.com. I have a daily devotional that I email out. It's free. All this stuff is free, not the stuff on the table. The other Brother Owens' stuff is free. Mine cost. But the online paper and the devotional are free, and so if you get a chance, please get back, visit it. And thank you, Brother Breedlove, for allowing me to come. I am thrilled to be here, and I mean that. Well, you guys got some rain. I mean, we bumped our way into from the airplane today. They had this. You know, when they tell the stewardess to sit down, you know we're about ready to go for a ride. You know, I lived out west. I've ridden a cow and a bull about one time. That was enough. I don't like doing it inside the airplane. We did okay this time, But you always get a little nervous. And they say, stewardess, you need to sit down. It's about ready to get real bumpy, amen? And so, but anyway, I heard y'all was giving your preacher a little bit about Florida. He mentions Florida, and y'all start cheering. And I don't understand that Florida football team or something like that. There's a real team that y'all are going to meet this weekend. It's called Alabama. I just wanted you to know that. And but anyway, I'm trying to make the spirit, you know, good around the place. And thank you, preachers, for coming out. Take your Bibles, turn it to John chapter 1. You got that right there? Okay, John chapter 1. The preacher told me, he says, Brother Owen didn't preach before he went to a sermon, did he? And I go, no, he never does. He doesn't. He talks about it, but he never prayed. No, I'm just kidding. He said, no, he doesn't. He goes right into the sermon. Those men stood back for preacher the whole time, because normally while you're praying, that's what they come and sit down. But we thought it was good for you all to stand up and listen to a preacher for once in your lifetime. And that's why he did that. But anyway, especially Brother Higer, you never listen. I know that. John chapter 1. Once you've found it, let's all stand as you read the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 1. If you have it, give a good hearty amen. Amen. All right, the Bible says in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Maybe the saddest statement in all the Bible is verse 11. Talking about Jesus, he came unto his own, and his own, I'm not talking those who didn't know him, his own received him not. Tonight, I want to take that one little phrase right there, and I want to speak to you on that little line. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Father, take these next few minutes. I don't know why you wanted me to preach this sermon, but apparently, there are some people here that you feel need it. So I ask the Holy Spirit of God, speak through me tonight to help thy people. If all we heard was the first sermon, we have enough to go home tonight to meditate on, to change our life for the rest of our lives. But we ask you once again to meet with us. We ask you once again to do a work in our midst this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto a world that he had created, and yet the world that he created received him not. Imagine that. He came unto a people whom he had chosen to be his own people, yet those people whom he chose to be his own received him not. I'm not talking about a people that had everything, they were the best of society. I mean, God took them out of nothing and made them, and yet they received him not. He came into a world to give that world salvation from sin and hell. And yet, sadly, the world receives him not. He came unto his own city to teach and heal. And yet, the people of his own city
received him not. He came to his own followers and tried to help his followers. And yet his very followers rejected him and forsook him and received him not. He came unto his own countrymen, and yet his own countrymen received him not. What a sad statement to think that the God of the universe would come unto his own, and his own receives him not. What a travesty. What in the world were they thinking? The God of the universe, the Creator, the Savior of the world, the one who could save them from their sins, he gave them life, he gave them breath, he gave them eyes to see, he gave them ears to hear, he gave them legs to walk. And yet these very ones who he gave breath to breathe, the very ones whom he placed on this earth, that they would not exist without him, they rejected him and received him not and pushed him away. What a travesty that God would do all of this for mankind, and yet mankind would not receive him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to a world. This very God. He gave the world the sun to rule by day and a moon to sit to so we could see at night. Yet that very world that he gave us a sun so we can see, a sun that can keep us warm, a moon at nighttime so we can see the beauty of the night. That very world that he gave these things to see, they received him not. He came to a world, the very world that he gave trees and flowers to see. You know the flowers that you plant outside in your house. The trees, you go to the forest and see the beauty of the trees. The redwood tree, the oak tree, the spruce tree. You go around, you see the beauty of a rose. You see the lilac. You see all the flowers that God had made. And yet the very God that gave us those pretty flowers, and the very God that gave us these beautiful trees that we see down here in Florida, the pine trees that we see. Hey, that God gave that to us. And yet they receive him not. This very world that he gave to the lakes and rivers, the world that he gave mountains and canyons, he came to them and they received him not. I mean, a world that he gave us, the Rocky Mountains, the world that he gave us, the Tetons, a world that he gave us, the Sierras, a world that he gave us, the Appalachians, a world that he gave us, the Shenandoah Ridge, a world that he gave us, the Adirondacks, a world that he gave us, all the great mountains of the United States, a world that he gave the rivers, a world that he gave the falls, a world that he gave a Niagara Falls that we can see the beauty at a Niagara Falls. That very God that gave to us the beauty that you and I go to, we look at it and say, wow, what a great creation. Yet he came unto that very world, and sadly, that world received him not. He came, the very world that he gave birds to sing and animals to enjoy, yet they received him not. The world that he gave the little duck, the world that he gave the little hummingbird, the world that he painted a finch, the world that he gave the robin to, the world that he gave the eagle to see, the world that he gave a hawk that flies in the sky, the world that gave us all the great birds that you and I look, we wake in the morning, we hear them singing, that very world, he came to them, and yet they received him not. The very world that God gave the dog, the very world that God gave the, can't say it, the world that God gave the, can't say it again, the world that God gave the dead cat, that's what it was, the world that God gave the cat, the world that God gave the lion, the world that God gave the reptile, the world that God gave us the giraffe and the lion and the bear and all the beautiful animals we see in creation, that world, God came to them and they received him not. The world that he gave food and raiment to, you know what I'm talking about. I don't see anybody starving in here. Well, Brother Marsh certainly isn't. Your wife wanted me to say that. But anyway, the world that God gave us food to eat today, the world that God gave us clothes to wear, the world, oh, we're so spoiled in America. We get three meals. We have clothes in our closets that we don't even wear anymore. It just hangs there, and we think that, well, we've got to have more, and we've got to have more. Yet that very God, he came to us, and we received him not. What a shame, what a travesty that God would come to us, give us everything that you and I have. That God came to us, yet we receive him not. Hey, what a shame that we don't receive him. The very God that gave us health and vitality, and yet they received him not. The very world that God gave hearing and sight, and yet they received him not. How sad that God could come to a world, and yet that world would receive him not. You see, he came to give us salvation, yet we rejected his salvation so we could die and go to hell. He came to give us hope, yet we rejected his hope and accepted despair. He came to give us victory, yet we rejected his victory and accepted defeat. He came to give us salvation, yet we rejected salvation and accepted our sins. He came to give us a home in heaven, yet we rejected that home in heaven and accepted an eternity in hell. He came to give us a relationship with the Father, yet we rejected the relationship with the Father and accepted a relationship with the devil. He came to give us mercy. We rejected mercy and accepted judgment. He came to give us protection. We rejected protection and accepted destruction. He came to give us grace. We rejected grace and accepted wrath. He came to give us healing. We rejected healing and accepted sickness and death. Ladies and gentlemen, what a sad day in America that God's people has come to us and give us so much, yet we despise him. We reject him. We say we don't want you. What a sad travesty that God could do all of this for us, and we receive him not. In return, we gave him a manger to be born in. He shouldn't have been laid in the feeding trough of an animal. He should have been laid in the nicest hospital bed with all the comforts of seats, the warmth that could keep him warm, and yet we reject him and throw him out to a barn to be born in that old barn. We reject him. In return, he gives us all of this, yet in return, we give him a ruler who tries to kill him. He comes into his own, yet we reject him. And in return, we reject the very teachings and say that they're not true. He came into his own. He tries to help us. Yet in return, we try to crucify him and end up crucifying him. Our sins are the sins that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, don't you understand? Jesus Christ came to you and I to give us everything that we have in life. Yet, sadly, we reject him. Hey, we reject him for Hollywood. We reject him for the rock music crowd. We reject him for all the filth of the pornography crowd. What a shame, what a travesty. God would come to us, yet we would accept, hey, we'll accept liberal politicians over a God in heaven. What a shame over all of that. We'll let some idiot professor tell us evolution's okay. And evolution's a fact, and it's not a fact. And let me tell you what it is a fact about. It's a fact that it's not true. That's what it is. And by the way, while I'm on this, let me just say this. I'm sick and tired of Mr. Huntsman going around as a presidential candidate saying that evolution is a fact. It's not a fact. And hey, he ought to get off that stage. America was founded under Almighty God. Let me tell you, America was created, and somewhere some Christians ought to get some backbone and stand up and say, hey, I'm not going to put up with that junk. You declare your war, and our God will declare war on you. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to you and I, yet sadly many Christians give him second place in their life. You have to twist their arms. You know what I'm talking about. Many of you have invited people to come. They're not here. And you wonder, why aren't they here? That's exactly what I'm talking about. He came into his own, and they received him not. You preachers, you give your life trying to help people and say Christ, his life is the best life. Yet they reject Christ, and they try the life of a world that has brought heartache after heartache after heartache after heartache. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. What a shame. What a travesty. That God would come into his own. And his own received him not. But hold on. That's the introduction. Let me tell you what's just as sad. Not quite as sad, but just right up there. What's just as sad is when a married person comes to their spouse and their spouse receives them not. We'll get quiet now. I'm talking tonight. Some of you tonight, you hear, you say you love God, yet you treat your spouse like a dog. Your marriage is torn up. Your marriage is a wreck. They came unto their own, and their own received them not. I mean, a husband comes to get love from his wife, and in return gets fighting and stubbornness. A wife comes and wants to be loved by her husband, and yet that husband, he fights, he gripes, he complains, he's stubborn. Hey, what a travesty. A husband and wife can't get along. You listen to me. About time some husbands and wives get right with God, come down to an altar, stop your fighting, stop your squabbling. Hey, they came unto their own, and yet their own received them not. They come, they have companionship with their spouse. And yet their spouse is too busy to give them companionship. Listen to me. Turn off your social networking. That social networking won't help your marriage. Listen, some of you have husband and wife. They dwell under the same house. You might as well, hey, the truth is, you rarely talk to each other. They're at home, you gripe, complain. You're never home. But when they are home, you never talk to each other. You're on the internet. You're on a social networking site. You're doing everything else. You don't spend time with each other. You listen to me. I'm talking to some husbands and wives tonight. Yes, you got upset about people not receiving Jesus Christ, yet you got a husband or a wife inside your house right now, and yet they come home every day. They want to talk. They want to have a time of companionship, yet you are so wrapped up in your own agenda. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They come to enjoy the physical pleasures of marriage, and yet their spouse rejects them for insignificant reasons. You listen to me. Before you get married, we have to do everything we can to get you apart. Now that you're married, we have to do everything we can just to get you back together. Some of your marriages are as cold as last year's winter in Alaska. There's no passion. There's no holding hands. Come on now. You say, what does this have to do with the old past? Let me tell you something. God started the home before he started the church. And you get the home right, it'll help the church. And let me tell you something. About time some husbands and wives learn to love each other again. About time some of you men take your eyes off of some slut out there. Put your eyes back on your wife and love your wife again. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. I'm just too tired. Then take a nap. You listen to me. You'll drive your husband away. And by the way, when you frown at me, you're only telling me what's going on. Amen, Brother Domley. Good preaching. You traveled with me. If you sat in the offices of pastors and see the pastors trying to keep the marriages together because of a cold marriage and indifference inside the marriage and the fighting and squabbling going on, you listen to me, somewhere we have got to have an old-fashioned revival inside of our homes of husbands and wives falling in love with each other again and appreciating each other and meeting each other's needs. Hey, they came unto their own, and their own received them not. My wife was in the ladies' conference years ago. It was a break time, and one of the ladies had spoken on meeting the needs of her husband. My wife told me the story. She says, walking through the hallways, heard a couple ladies laughing because they said they hadn't met their husband's needs in months. Laughing. Yet those very wives, when they find out their husband has been unfaithful to them, will come crying to the preacher. Come on now. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Listen to me, sir. You wait till your wife is gone. That golf club won't meet as much. You didn't marry a wife for her to stay home and be a widow while you're out running around with all the guys. Man, we're getting quiet. I learned a long time ago I'd much rather kiss my wife than kiss a golf club. Come on now. I know this is rocket science tonight. You listen to me. You listen to me. The reason why our kids are growing up wanting marriages like Hollywood, because they see a mom and dad at home who are cold and indifferent, who don't show any affection towards each other. I'm not saying being improper, but I'm saying there ought to be some children who see a mom and dad who are madly in love with each other. They came unto their own, and their own received them not. But hold on. Let me tell you what else is sad. It's when a parent comes to their child and their child receives them not. You listen to me, teenager. I know many of you hear me preach at the youth conference here, and I'm glad you're here again, but you listen to me. That you have a good mom and dad who will let you come to a place like this. You have a good mom and dad that would bring you to a church meeting on an off night and let you come and hear two old-fashioned men of God stand up and preach the word of God. Let me tell you something. There's teenagers all across this nation who've never heard preaching like this, yet you come, and then your mom and dad are trying to help you. You reject their leadership. You reject their advice. You reject their help. You reject everything about them. You think you got a terrible parent. Let me tell you something. You got some mighty good parents that love you and care for you. Hey, don't let your parents come and you reject them and receive them not. I was in Panama this summer preaching for a good friend of mine. He's got an orphanage. I got a picture on my cell phone of an 8-month-old baby. They don't know who the daddy is. Mama will be in jail until that child is 15 years of age. Some of you teenagers sit here. No, we're not perfect parents. We've never claimed to be that. We try our hardest, though. We try to help you. We try to give you the answers that we have. But we don't have all the answers, but we try. We try. We try. And you're cold towards mom and dad. They call you up and you give them that little short answer. You kind of grunt at them all the time. I'm saying, young person, don't let mom and dad come to try to give you the leadership and you reject their leadership and receive them not. What a travesty. They come to give you leadership and you reject their leadership. They come to give you guidance, and yet you reject their guidance. They come to give you love and friendship, yet you reject their love and friendship because they're just too old. Let me tell you something. Your best friend ought to be your mom and dad. Ought not to be some knucklehead in the school. Ought not to be some knucklehead in the neighborhood. Mom and daddy ought to be your best friends. I'm saying somewhere we've got to wise up inside of America. Hey, receive the mom and dad that care for you. Brother Tommy, you're supposed to be nice the first night. What happened? Brother Scott picked me up. It's his fault. Take it out on him. Top it all off. He got my jacket wet as we're coming to church. He really made me mad then. It's his fault. Your mom and dad try to make you laugh, and yet you don't think anything they do is funny. Come on now. You say, well, Brother Dumb, you've not heard the humor. Laugh anyway. Yet that same mom and dad will go to a Sunday school class. Try to love on the children in that Sunday school class. Those children in the Sunday school class will accept the love of your mom and dad, but you won't. Come on. They'll go to some other teenagers and they'll try to give them leadership. They'll accept your mom and dad's leadership, but you won't. They'll go to some other kids and they'll love on some other kids, but you won't accept, but you don't accept the love of mom and dad. When my parents aren't perfect. Have you looked in the mirror lately, honey? Kids in their Sunday school class lift them up as heroes. And yet you lift your parents up as villains. You back talk them. You talk bad about them. You sneer at them. You make mockery of them. They came unto their own, and their own received them not. Okay, what else is this as bad? A pastor comes to his people. Help his people. And yet his people receive him not. A pastor comes to give leadership, but they reject his leadership and will accept a Joel Osteen who won't come visit you one time in the hospital when you're sick. He finds out your needs and he'll take money out of his pocket to make sure your needs are met, yet you reject him for a Rick Warren. I don't think you ought to call names, then don't, but I will. I'm tired of us letting these charismatic preachers out there leading us. They don't care about you. They've not one time come to your house. They've not visited you in a hospital bed. They've not prayed with you. They've not counseled you. Yet you accept them over the man of God who prays over you, who gives you a sermon every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and sacrifices a salary and does without for you. And yet you receive him not. Hey, what a travesty. Let me tell you who the heroes are in this state, these preachers who are here. When we had a Republican debate here, boy, those are great men. No, those aren't great men. These men who are preaching behind pulpits. Hey, these are great men. I vote for them to be president. Pastor comes to give his people counsel, and yet they reject his counsel. Yet he'll go to preach to other churches. When he preaches in other churches, they'll say amen, but he can't get a peep out of his own people when he preaches to them. Come on now. You listen to me. No church ought to amen this preacher more than you. This church ought to be the biggest cheerleader of this man. You ought to say amen when he preaches. You ought to get behind him and lift his arms up. I'm saying they came unto their own, and their own receive them not. He can go and preach in other churches, and altars will be packed out. But gives an invitation in his church, and one or two people walk an aisle. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. If you only understood how much that preacher wonders if he's getting through to you. It's not that he thinks he's any better, but he's got a truth from God's word he knows will help your life, and yet he preaches his heart out, and you sit there in invitation time with this look, let me get out of this place. Let me tell you, somewhere in America, we need to get some people that fall in love with the old-time religion. When the invitation is given, come down to an old-fashioned altar and use that altar again. Hey, they came unto their own, and their own received them not. Other people will wait for months to hear your preacher preach. But you got access Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. He's got to have something great to get you to come out for all three services. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. I'll tell you what else is sad. It's when a church member comes to their church for help, and their church receives them not. You listen to me. I'm fed up with a bunch of Pharisees in our churches. Fed up with it. Well, they sinned. Well, so have you. Well, they messed up. You haven't messed up. Where's the nail prints in your hands, sir? Do you have a hole in your side where the spear has gone through, ma'am? Well, they brought reproach to the name of Christ, and you haven't. Let me ask you something. If the sinner can't come to the church, then where can they go? I'm not saying cover up sin. I'm not saying that at all. But let me tell you, the one reason why sometimes people try to cover it up, because they know if it gets out, the church people will treat them like a piece of dirt and like a dog. And the truth is, neither one's right, but somewhere we've got to grow up as Christians. And when someone messes up their life, they've got to know there's one church in town that loves them, will accept them, will bring them back, restore them again, use them again. They came unto their own, and their own received them not. Fed up with this higher-than-thou mentality in our churches. Gossip and talk and point out all the flaws of all those who have fallen. Hey, let's put the microscope on your life. They came unto their own. Their own received them not. What if it was your child that messed up? By the way, it is somebody's child. And it is someone's brother or someone's sister, someone's husband, someone's wife. They may have a long ways to go, but let me tell you something. Don't ever let it be said about our churches. Sinners come to put their life back together, and we receive them not. That's the case. Close the doors, Dad. Jesus didn't come to the perfect people. He came to the sinners. Thank God he did. Because I am one. Oh, we get upset when we hear that they didn't receive Jesus. We look back at the Pharisees of his day and say, what in the world were you doing? But hold on. I've learned in our homes, husbands and wives. You know what? Some of you husbands and wives, let me teach you a word. Babysitter. Get rid of that little devil. I mean, that little angel. Go take a drive down a back road like you once used to do and get lost for a while. Enjoy each other. Hey, young person, you ought to go home tonight. Mom and Daddy, I've been wrong. From this day forward, I'm going to start loving you and following you. I realize if anybody I ought to love, if anyone I ought to follow, if anyone I ought to accept, it ought to be my mama and my daddy. Some of you church members tonight ought to come down to an old-fashioned altar, decide to start following your preacher. Talking to church members tonight. They need to come down to this altar and get right with God about their pharisaical attitude so that the sinner can feel welcome in this place. Well, we don't want a bunch of sinners in it. Yeah, you sound like the Pharisees. Jesus was eating with the publicans and the sinners. They're just like a bunch of independent fundamental Baptists. Yeah, look who he's hanging around. They came unto their own. Their own received them not. May it be said in Florida, there's some churches all over the state of Florida. We preach the old time religion and we don't waver. But we come unto our own. And our own receive us. Father, tonight, truth is, some people just need to get right with you tonight. We have our own, and yet we don't even receive our own. What a travesty. Oh, God, tonight, may your people decide be more like you. May we tonight decide to say, okay, we're not going to live like the Pharisees anymore. We're going to receive our own, a husband, a wife, a parent, a brother, a sister, a Sunday school teacher, a bus worker, a preacher, a Christian who's fallen. Help us tonight to receive our own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.